Thank you. An individual called me the other day complaining about a friend of his. He said that he had counted on this friend for it to be there for him, to support him in a particular way. But the friend had not come through in the way that he had anticipated. And furthermore, the friend did not even seem to understand that something had been expected of him. Now, the individual who called, he was devastated. And in his disappointment, he wondered if he could even continue the friendship. While I acknowledge his concern, I also understand that sometimes this is how it is when we rely on others. We have certain expectations, and we assume that our family and our friends will meet them. And when they don't, we are left to wonder why. But human nature is very interesting. Relationships, they can be difficult because we simply do not all think alike. Our concepts and our ideas are individual, reflecting our experience, our background, and basically our very view of life. Now, sometimes these expectations that we have of others, they are unrealistic. It may be a lack of communication, but I think that many times our friend or family member is simply not up to doing what we would like them to do, or even understands that we are asking something of them. I can relate. I think that we have all been in this situation at one time or another. We may have been the one with the expectations, disappointed when they were not met. At other times, we may have been the one who doesn't realize something is expected of us. And when it is brought to our attention, and it will be, we are amazed that anyone could think it was within our ability to accomplish what they wanted us to do. Well, I thought about this for a little while, and I reached the conclusion that in many cases, it is our expectation that causes our disappointment, and not another individual. We can only act and work from where we are in consciousness, no more and no less. Awareness is individual. We do not know what another entertains in the privacy of his consciousness. He may not share those intimate things about himself, his personal thoughts, especially those ones that he has about himself. The ones that he considers his strengths and his weaknesses. And not having this information, how would we know where to place our expectation? Now, having said this, I also admit that as human beings, we do have needs and aspirations. And the natural tendency is to look to our fellow man for assistance and for support. And yes, this is a valid way of obtaining helpful information, a kind word, or a helping hand. We do find it comforting to have someone by our side, someone to walk with us in our time of decision and concern, but also in those times of joy and elation. But let us also understand that when we turn to others in this way, that the response will be based on their background, their experience, or view of life, which may or may not have anything to do with us at all. We may ask the question, in our time of need, what do we do? Is there another way to find assurance and guidance? What's to go beyond those human experience and background and various views of life? Well, the Bible has this to say about the individual. Isaiah tells us to cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? This is the man of flesh and blood, the one that we call family or friend. Now, when we read or consider a particular verse in the Bible, I urge you to look up that same verse in various translations of the Bible. This will add clarity and interpretation. In the Living Bible, this verse is given in this way: puny man, frail as his breath, don't ever put your trust in him. Okay, so now we know. Yes, we love our family and our friends. We really do. We enjoy being with them, and we share many things. However, we do not depend or rely on them to make us happy or to try to fulfill us and meet our needs. So again, we ask, if not our fellow man, then who or what can we depend on? In a challenging world, is there something stable and sure that we can rely on? Well, again, we turn to the Bible. In 1 John 3:2, we read, Beloved, now are ye the sons of God. And in Romans, we read about that one who follows after the flesh and the one who follows after the Spirit. For they that do mind the things of the flesh do mind the things that are of the human nature. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. If children of God, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. These verses introduce us to a new idea of family, a spiritual one, one that is of the household of God. What do we know about the household of God? Well, Jesus called it a kingdom. He told us it's not of this world. Meaning it is not governed by the laws that rule this world of manifestation, the one of flesh. So we think about this for a little while and we reason in this way. Children who are of the household of God, they are free of the laws that govern that puny man whose breath is in his nostrils. And we like this idea. I mean, who among us would not want to be free of those laws of cause and effect? Those laws that govern germs, climate, and old age? And then we remember. While our true self is the one of spirit, we still find us walking around in that fleshy garment assigned to the individual. And yes, this self needs attention, support, and maintenance. How does one reconcile the needs of the human being with the fullness of the spiritual self? Well, where are we looking for our maintenance and support? For instance, the human nature. It has the need to love and to be loved. We say that in order to receive love, we must be more loving. Now, to think in this way indicates that we are capable of giving love or withholding it. And as human beings, this may be what we are actually doing. Directing love to certain persons, places, and things, and not to others. But an idea of love that restricts in this particular way is limited, based on human judgment and there will be nothing to sustain it. I do not think it is possible to make someone else love us by simply being more loving. It does not lie within our ability to change people in their demonstration. All we can change is our own demonstration. What is our demonstration? Well, we are the children of God. And when we act from this identity, it is not a matter of us being more loving. Already contained in our spiritual DNA is God's infinite love, which expresses through us unlimited fulfillment and satisfaction. And so it is not a matter of us being more loving. We could not be any more or less than what we already are. It is a matter of allowing it to go from us. Love is God expressing itself. The moment we turn our thoughts from the idea that a person can give or withhold love, when we do this, we find love pouring itself out as infinite abundance. And the wonderful thing is it is available to all of us according to our acceptance and willingness to receive. So it is with anything. We go back to what is our demonstration. The puny man, the one of flesh and blood, he is very concerned about his supply. And he looks to his fellow man for assistance. He looks to his boss, or perhaps to the company he works for. He looks to that family inheritance of money, art, possessions, and all material good. His expectation is placed on the work of another, what they have accomplished and achieved. Now, sometimes this does work for him. Other times, it doesn't. Through time, we have discovered that we cannot always depend on a paycheck or on a pension in retirement. And what about that inheritance, the one from the biological family? We may not even be in the will. Promised a raise in our line of work. But when that time arrived, it did not materialize. These are lessons learned. Do not depend on that man whose breath is in his nostrils for anything. What is our demonstration? Well, we are the children of God. And when we act from this identity, we look to God as the source of every good thing. We read that God wants us to live the abundant life. And we understand there is a storehouse of blessings ready to pour itself out to be received and accepted. The storehouse of blessings, it's unlimited. It is spiritual, bearing fruit that supports and maintains. We are also told that before we call, he has already answered. I go before you making every crooked place straight. I go before you taking the form necessary to meet your need. The people were hungry. Jesus fed them. Now he himself did not run off to the market to find food. He simply turned to his Father, giving recognition to his creative activity, the one that does the work. We too go to our source and give recognition to what already is. As long as we live from the identity of spiritual being, we will have God in our lives. As long as we have God in our lives, we will have the kingdom of heaven pouring itself out as love, supply, joy, and companionship. Why should we go looking outside us for what is already contained in us? As we learn to keep our vision on God as individual being, as our being, we will find nothing in our being that defileth or maketh a lie. This is Revelation 21, 27. Well, I think we hear this, and we agree that this is where we really want to be. This is what we want as our demonstration. But we also remember that it has been said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, what is our demonstration? We still have our temptations, and I think the biggest one is to judge by appearance. We may have a precious moment in our time of meditation, feeling God's presence, one with God in the sanctuary of inner being. Nothing can take this from us. We can, however, lose sight of it when we leave our place of meditation. Returning to the task of walking on this earth plane, we may remember that pain in our back, or the zero figures in our checking account. You see, all of us, in appearance, are showing some form of discord, inharmony, ill health, or lack. We continue to see these things because we do not yet fully recognize God as our individual being. We still have a selfhood apart from God. And this is what that means. To have a selfhood apart from God keeps us looking to others for love, supply, harmony, and happiness. The spiritual self is the truth of us, and really we can claim it at any time. But all of you are students of truth, and I know that by now we've all discovered this really is not an easy thing to do. And frankly, there will be times when we are tempted to give up trying. Certainly we will never make it. We will never attain an understanding that allows us to be in this world, but not of it. We say it is hard work to practice the presence of God and live its truth. We say that it is difficult to find peace in place of discord, health in place of sickness. It is difficult to feel abundant when lack seems to be the order of the day. And as human beings, we wonder, how can we fight this? How do we get beyond those laws that govern the self of humanhood? You see, we act this way because this is how that puny man whose breath is in his nostrils does his work. This man does battle, trying to change one thing for another, in a constant state of overcoming this or that, trying to improve this condition or that circumstance. This is the selfhood apart from God. This man has created for himself two powers, trying to reconcile what cannot be reconciled. He's looking for truth. But this is an example of a human being trying to do spiritual things. The human self does not have the ability to do this. In fact, this individual has no evidence that they even exist. Oh yes, he may read about truth and study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are revealed in the soul of man. And until this message is received in inner being, there will be no evidence that it even exists. When we find us in that place where we are tempted to judge by appearance, do not turn it over to that puny man of flesh and blood to figure it out. That being always bears witness to opposites, which keep us outside the kingdom. As long as we live on this earth plane, we will be tempted, and we might as well admit it. But what is our demonstration? We are the sons and the daughters of God. So when that sore back grabs our attention, and it will, affirm that God is the health of his people, and God cannot have a sore back. When we reach for our wallet and we find it is empty, declare God to be the only source, and God cannot know lack. And then rest in the awareness that God is here. And in our resting, we are not idle. We are alert and alive, awaiting that infinite storehouse to pour out its blessings. We cannot have an insufficiency of any kind if our source is God. Appearance may indicate otherwise. The tree in the wintertime, with no evidence of leaves or fruit, it may appear to be dead. But deep within that tree is knowledge of life. It neither stresses nor strains during its dormant time. But rest in the assurance that the life in it is its demonstration, all according to its nature and its species. Now I doubt that any of us can claim the full Christhood at this moment. Lurking in each one of us is our selfhood, apart from God, demanding attention. But the Bible tells us, bit by bit, precept upon precept, we grow into fuller knowledge of truth. The truth about God, about life, and about us. Now some have called this world the process side of life. The aspect of being that requires growth by way of unfoldment. Coming into greater knowledge through study and practice. And you know, this is true regardless of what the subject is, whether it's science, art, technology, or religion. So let us not fight what belongs to the world or try to reconcile it in some way. Study and learn, discarding what no longer fits or belongs, reaching for that next step of high calling. The one that leads us upward and onward to fuller knowledge and understanding. I am reminded that when I refer to that puny man whose breath is in his nostrils, that I am talking about me. I am that individual of material form. And yes, there are those times when I rely on myself, on my thoughts, my opinions, in my judgment. There are times when I assign me the task of making me happy, earning an ample supply, and maintaining a degree of health by any means possible. But then I remember, this is the process side of life, and I am in the process of growing and unfolding to a finer idea of life. One that takes me beyond the laws that govern germs, climate, and old age. And so it is for all of us. What is our demonstration? We are all the children of God. And when we live according to this identity, the old man is put away, a new day dawns. It is every man's and every woman's destiny to know themselves in this way. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and give recognition to that indwelling presence. that never leaves us. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In this moment, we relax our bodies and we close our eyes. We remind ourselves that we are not alone. God is, and beside Him, there is none else. In the absence of thought, we sense and we feel His presence. Turn to me. I am here. Right in the midst of trial and tribulation, you will find me available and at hand. I will give you rest. Rest from concerns and anxiety. Rest from the appearance that demands attention. Time stands still. The present moment is the eternal now, and it is ours. Allow God to fill the moment. God utters His voice, and the earth melts away. As we leave the sanctuary this morning, we know we are God's child. He cares for us. He nurtures and sustains us. So let us not be concerned about those daily experiences. This too shall pass. The inner voice reveals this is the way. Walk ye in it. Be still and know that this is so. Go in peace. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge Him, so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen.